I have written on my notes the very first line under the title of today's message. I have this: in the spring of 76. I always kind of wanted to say that, you know. Now I'm getting old enough to where that matters, you know. It's in the spring of 76. You know, the sad part, the exciting part, whatever, is that I can remember what happened in the spring of 76. I might not be able to spring of 96, but I can remember what happened in the spring of 76. 76! 1976! I can remember 1976 very clearly. I can remember that. I was 11 years old. In the spring of 96, I was 11 years old. I had turned 11 that January. And there was big things. I know the country was turning, had turned 200 years old. But I was 11. Big things were going on in my life. One of the monumental things, I remember it clearly, that was going on in my life in the spring of 76 is that my dad had bought a John Deere 50 and he was going to teach me to drive it. That might not seem like a big deal to you, but to an 11-year-old in 76, that was monumental. A John Deere 50. My dad pushed the button. My dad set me on the seat for the very first time on a John Deere 50. The John Deere 50 was an upgrade from the John Deere B. It had all the new components that was offered that year. 1953, our John Deere was made. And I was being sat on it for the very first time. My dad was going to teach me how to drive the John Deere 50. There was no YouTube back in the day. There was only dad tube, mom tube, sometimes grandparent tube, and I learned quickly, don't trust big brother tube. But my dad was giving me a tutorial on how to drive a John Deere 50. I love what they printed in the John Deere 50 stuff. Push the next button. Here it is. Open operator station with padded seat. That's the seat on this thing. That's what they referred to it as. It's an open operator station. And I can remember climbing up to that open operator station with a padded seat as an 11-year-old sitting on that tractor for the very first time. Here's the cockpit of a John Deere 50. Push the button. Here's the cockpit of a John Deere 50. I'm telling you what, that was huge for an 11-year-old. And I began to learn the components of a John Deere 50. I began to learn where the starter switch was and where the starting button was. I began to learn where the choke was and where the headlights were. I began to understand the brake pedals. I began to understand the hand clutch and the hand throttle that went with it. It had a transmission with 6 forward gears and 1 reverse. And I began to learn how to shift. I began to learn that there was gauges that you needed to pay attention to. All 3 of them. The temperature gauge, the voltage gauge, and the oil pressure gauge. I began to learn that a narrow front-end tractor was different than a wide front-end tractor. In the tutorial that I was getting, all that was flooding in, and all an 11-year-old could see was the cockpit of a John Deere 50. I soon learned that even in the simplest machine, it took a lot for this machine to operate at the greatest level. Just putting fuel in the tank was not sufficient enough to guarantee optimum operation. So in part of that dad tube that was going on, I got what you would call today the CDL walk around, where you had to walk around and make sure that everything was working, everything was in place. The fuel was there, the oil was there, the fluid levels, the coolant, the wiring, the tire pressure, the air cleaner, the filter, the brakes, the exhaust, the bolts that might be loose, pins that might have been missing, so forth and so on. Optimum operation is not guaranteed. Optimum operation takes work, I began to learn. And Dad was certain to know that if you don't have hydraulic fluid in it, it's not going to work properly. If you don't have oil in it, it's not going to work properly. If the tires are underinflated, it's not going to work properly. It takes more than just sitting in the open operator compartment of a John Deere 50 to get the most out of that 50. And that is very true in John Deere 50 world, which I spent hours and hours and hours on that open operated padded seat. And back in my day, the first thing that you did is rake hay. Lots of it. And as true as that is, to have the optimum operation takes work. The optimum operation is not guaranteed. It takes work. As true as that is for a John Deere 50, it is true for life as well. To live takes more than just breathing. To live takes more than just breathing. I've entitled today's message, Different Pictures, Same Pieces. There are many pieces to make up a living life. A living life, not just a life, but a living life. One that's operating at the optimum levels. The one who has all the components to it to make sure you're getting the most out of life. Living life, not just breathing. Peter 1, verses 1 and following says this: Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Christ, Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, colon. That means there's a verse 2. And we're going to get to verse 2 because the colon invites us to verse 2. We should not be able to stop at a colon. But we have to understand what's going on there. He's going to unpack it more for us later. And as we journey through that. But he says, Simon Peter, as servant of the apostle and apostle of Christ, of Jesus Christ, to those who are the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. If you're going to learn to drive a John Deere 50, you got to have a 50. If you're going to learn to drive, to operate inside of where the life that God has for you, you got to start with a faith. It's not the only thing that we need. And he's going to unpack that. And over the next few weeks, we're going to unpack that. Because he's saying, now you got that, add. And we're going to look at that just for a few moments today. But he said, you want to live life? You need a faith. I've received it, and some of you have received it, he says. To those who have received it, don't stop there. You received it. You received a righteousness from God. It had come through Christ. We received it, and some of you have received it. So you're ready, perhaps, to start living life, but you can't live life without a faith. And I'm going to make the statement here in a few moments. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about having a faith. I'm not ever going to ask anyone again if you're saved. I'm going to ask if you have a faith. Because if you're going to live life, you've got to have a faith. Can you be saved and not live life? We can make that theological argument later. But right now, Peter's making the argument. If you're going to live life, you've got to have faith. You got to have a faith that's precious as ours, and it's come from God, and His righteousness has delivered it to you and to me. It's on the table. Do you want to live your faith? And then he goes on, and he goes on filling in the gaps after that colon at the end of the sentence, or in the middle of the sentence. Grace in verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of our God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. See what he's doing? He's unpacking what he means by faith. And he's starting to throw words into our midst like grace. He's throwing myths and words into our midst like peace. He's throwing it out here. He's telling us. I think he's starting to explain, may this be yours. Why? Who? Those who have faith. May you have this. I want you to have grace. I want you to have peace. Because that's part of your faith. It's part of what living life. It's part of learning to live life and not just exist and not just go ping-ponging around from one thing to another. Aren't you tired of that? I preached a message years and years ago, just turning the crank, just turning the crank, just turning the crank. All I am is just turning the crank. I'm tired of just turning the crank. I want to live life. And Peter's saying, if you're going to live life, you got to have a faith. And you got to have a faith, and it's full of grace. And that grace is the grace that pardons you. Push the button, please. The grace the grace that chooses you. The grace that pardons you. The grace that leads you to victory. The grace that gives you life. It's part of your faith. May it be of yours in abundance, he's going to say. But may you have abundance of victory in your life, because you're going to need it. Be living life. There'll be things that try to drag you down, but you're gonna need victory. Don't worry. It's there. It's on the table. It's in the box. Don't worry. Do you want to live life? The grace is there. May it be yours, and may it be yours, and may it be yours and yours. Isn't that cool? That's awesome, I think. Peter said, no, wait a minute, you get to live life. I just didn't save you for someday I'll take you to heaven. No, I did it now. I got more for you now. May it be yours in abundance. I want to shovel it on you. And it's lucky I don't have a bottle of water in my hand. I'd pick a smaller guy to do that with. Get my tail kicked. But I want to just pour it on you. I want the peace that confirms and a peace that sets firm and a peace that comforts and a peace that makes sure that's there. I want that to fall on you in abundance. Be yours in abundance, he says. I want that to be yours in abundance. Why? Because you've got a faith. And I want that faith to grow, and I want that faith to blossom, and so you can live life. It starts with a faith. I think this is so cool. This makes so much sense to me. I didn't just save you, he said. I give you a faith. And that faith is saturated with grace and with peace in abundance. I mean, it just blows my mind that there's no limit to the grace and the peace that God has given us. Being a farmer and having friends that are farmer and growing a garden, there's always a limit to what the garden can do. Man, if you can get a couple hundred bushel an acre, man, you're whistling Dixie. I'm telling you that. But there's no limit to what God can do. He said, "I want to give you this grace," and I know I got to get moving because I'm still only on the second page of my notes. But this is so key. To knowing that there's more. And if we're going to live life, there's more. He said, there's more. There's more. There's more. Amen. And it's grace and it's peace. Be yours, yours, yours in abundance. I want to pour it out on you. I think that's so awesome. That's amazing that God wants to do that. Because I don't want you just to sit on the seat of a John Deere 50. I want you to operate it. I want you to live in it. I want you to experience it. I know today's tractors, but I'll tell you what, if I could find one and I could afford one, there'd be a John Deere 50 sitting at 713 Walnut Street in Roaring Spring. And the neighbors would say, man, he's starting up that Johnny Popper again. That two-cylinder, pop, 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 pop. All the other tractors on our farm were orange. But I wanted to drive it, and I want to live my faith. 43 years later, I want to live my faith, and God says, you can, because grace and peace may be yours in abundance. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through what? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Not just, if we understand that in the Greek, it's just not just cognitive data. There are people who are saved that have cognitive data. That's not what he's talking about. There are people that can argue theology way better than I can. There are people who I believe are believers in Jesus Christ that have cognitive data that run out their ears. That's not what he's saying here. He said, I want you to receive this. I want you to receive this grace and peace, be yours in abundance through this intimacy with Jesus. This knowledge, you have an intimacy with Jesus. You have a right to come to Jesus. Jesus has invited you to have a relationship with him. Isn't that awesome? Amen. The intimacy that created in that environment, he said, that's where the peace comes from. That's where the grace comes from. That's where your faith is going to be able to be lived and not just sat on. That's incredible to me. That I can have this intimate relationship with God. Not just the cognitive data. It's cool if you can answer all the Bible questions on Jeopardy. He's talking more than that. He's talking this intimacy with God. You've got this intimacy with God. So far, faith is this. Grace, peace, and intimacy with God. And that faith is going to salvation, sure, it's included. Not just saved, but this grace and peace and intimacy with God. We're starting to check the fuel, the hydraulic fuel, and the tire pressure. He said, hang on, you're going to do a full CDL walk around. And you're going to see what kind of power you have at your disposal. And you're going to see what I can do in and through you. And you're going to be able to live, not just exist. That is so incredible to me. Look at verse 3. His divine power. Okay, now we're adding something else in addition to grace and peace and intimacy with God. Now don't forget, also on the table called faith is power. It's not just nuclear power, it's divine power. We sing the song. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And I was watching that on YouTube this week, and there was a choir. They were into it. Baby, I turned it up. And it was from one of those southern churches that they got it together, baby. They got it together. But you know what? That's all they sang. They just sang that. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There was power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. But if you don't sing the verses, it's never applied to humanity. and it's meant to be applied to humanity. There's power in the blood, and that blood is available for you and me. There is divine power in this thing you call faith. Grace and mercy and intimacy with God. I'm telling you why he's stacking the deck right here. Amen. This is good stuff. Amen. And watch what he said. Would you be free from the burden of sin? Why? Because there's divine power in your life. Would you be or evil a victory win? How can that be possible? Divine power is how that's possible. Would you be free from your passions and pride? I don't know, but the power can make it happen. The divine power that's in your faith, he said, can make it happen. He said, there is divine power. You want to live? Get on that 28.11 horsepower John Deere 50, baby. 28.11 horsepower. I'll tell you what, to an 11-year-old, it might as well have been a rocket ship. God says, I got power for you. 28.11 horsepower. Hang on, baby. You got power, and you're going to find power that can make you whiter, much whiter than snow. You're going to find power that you can do service for Jesus, your King, because there's power in the blood, because he's given you divine power, and you will and would you live daily his praises to sing. You can't when divine power is in your life. Are you going to live, he said. Are you going to live? I'm not asking if you're saved. I'm asking if you're living. In order to live, you got to have a faith. Woo! I am amped. And I haven't even had any coffee. I've had no diet soda. I've had one bowl of Rice Krispies. But there is power. I know there's power in the blood. I know there's power in my life because God has brought me from point A to point B because I needed him to bring me there through the power. I know I can slay the passions of my flesh because there's power in my life. And my flesh wants to lead me over the cliff, and God's power wants me to lead me to life. Do you want to live? Do you want to live? He says, do you really want to live, or do you just want to look at the John Deere 50? I'm telling you what, no 11-year-old wants to just look at a John Deere 50. They want to drive it. And no 54-year-old wants to just look at a faith. They want to drive it. They want to drive the faith. They want to live the life. They want to know that the power is in their life. Everything you need, he says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our intimacy with him. See, it's all marrying together. Dr. Roper would be so happy. He was my hermeneutics professor. That I finally get some verses. That's coming because you have an intimacy with God, not just a cognitive thing with God. But you got this intimacy with God, and he has given you everything you need, everything for life in the here and now. Just so you know, that's not life after you die. That's life starting today. I've got everything you need for life. What is it? It is in that faith, which contains grace and peace and intimacy with God and power, divine power. In the here and the now. John 1:16 says this, for the fullness of his grace, there it is again, grace. We have all received one blessing after another, after another, after another, have received it. Have received. You're receiving it. You're receiving it now. He said everything that you need to live life is in this thing you call faith. You're in his grace, the grace that chooses, the grace that pardons, the grace that leads to victory, the grace that gives you life. All the pieces are in the box called your faith. He's not done yet. He's going to add to this. We're only to the hydraulic fluid, the tire pressure, and the oil. Hang on. Because it says that, man, I'm going to amp you up. Man, I'm going to rev you up. I'm going to give you life that you can't even believe. And I'm going to ask you to add some more things to your life. But you got to know this thing called your faith that's already saturated with grace and peace and intimacy with God and divine power is in the house. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and grace. The godliness, the devotion to God, the walking with God, the holiness that has caused us to reflect God. He said, don't worry, there's godliness in there. And man, I never get it right. Don't worry, it's in your faith. Keep going. Because that, all the way through what defines your faith, there's godliness in there too. And don't worry, you and I will get it, God says. Stop fretting. Will you just stop fretting? Stop fretting that you don't get it right. Just walk with me. Just have an intimate relationship with me. Just let grace and peace fall upon you. Let this happen in your life and let it be a reality in your life, because inside of that is for life. It is for godliness. You'll have this walk with me like you can never imagine. And you'll be living life. Isn't that awesome? And this is through Him who called you by His own glory and goodness. God made the call. The glory is His opinion, His judgment. He makes the call. Goodness without any moral defects. So let's marry all that together with this. He makes the call and it's the right one. And He called you. Amen. If I was God, I would never call me. You ain't God. Knock, knock, knock. You ain't God. And God says, I called you. I know you're screwed up. I know you're upside down. I know you got a broken handle. Don't worry about it. I got everything you need. And I'm the one who reached into your life. You didn't reach into mine. I reached into your life. I made the call. I called you. His call is the right one, and He called you. He did not make a mistake when He called you. He did not make a mistake when He called you. Let that lie get out of you. God did not make a mistake when He called you. He called you to have life and not just breathe, but to live, to experience 28.11 horsepower. Woo! If you don't remember anything, you might remember John Deere 50 data today. I'm telling you, someday there's going to be one sitting at 713 Walnut Street. It's not allowed on Blue Knob because I know it's green, but sitting in my faith, sitting in the cockpit of my faith, God says, hang on. Because I'm going to do a work in your life, and I'm going to give you the ability to live. Through these, verse 4 says, through these, He has given us His very great, through what? His goodness and His glory. That's what it is, His goodness and His glory, His choosing, His opinion. He gets to give what He wants to give. It's His! Well, I wouldn't give it to her if I was God. You ain't God. And He's given it to you and to me. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate. Hang on, here comes the good parts. This is good. Can you imagine God does this? That you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You get and I get to participate in the divine nature. We get to touch God. We sing songs and we say, I come to the cross. Guess what? You're still hanging on to the cross. Because without the cross, you can't participate in the divine nature. Look at, this is an addition to, holy smokes, God. This is an addition to grace and peace and intimacy with God and divine power. Now you get to touch me, God says. Whoo. We're not just talking phone calls. We're not just talking emails. We're not just talking text. We're talking touching God. Intimacy with God. You get the right to participate in the divine nature. Oh, the world's got some crap for you too. And they're going to try to get you to participate in their nature. Don't. Because that'll lead you over the cliff. God says, participate in my divine nature. And that'll lead you down the road to living. All 28.11 horsepower of it. Listen, we're going to spend 6 or 7 weeks in this passage because he's going to say, now, wait a minute, I got a lot more for you. And we're going to talk about that over the weeks to come. For this very reason, verse 5 says, make every effort to add to your faith. What's your faith? Grace, peace, intimacy with Jesus, divine power, God-touching phenomenon. Okay? Okay, that's faith. That's the definition of faith. We're not asking if you're saved. We're asking if you get a faith. And he says, because you have that faith, because you can touch God, because you can participate in the divine nature, because you have divine power, because you have his intimacy with Jesus, because you have peace, because you have grace. Hang on. Buckle in, 5-point restraint. Make every effort. You know one thing that was a reality? Is I wanted at times, I always wanted to go jump on the John Deere and just go. But I knew that it had been ingrained in my mind. Check the oil. Check the coolant. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get out there and you're going to run out of fuel. And then you're going to have to walk home. And then you're going to have to do some stuff. Or worse yet, you're not going to check the oil and now you're not going to walk home. Your dad's going to kick your tail all the way home. So make every effort. Optimum operation does not come without work. Make every effort. We have to cooperate with God. All the pieces are in the box. Put it together. But it comes from God. It comes from God. You can't wake up your inner self to live life. A poodle can be walking down the street and see a lion coming after him. And there's no way that poodle can wake up enough poodle inside of him to defeat that lion. He's going to become chicken poodle soup, I'm telling you right now. And God says, you're going to live life. That was a bad, sorry. But he's going to. And God says, if you're going to live this life, if you're going to live this life, keep adding. Keep adding. Keep adding. Because there's not enough in you to get it done. Don't worry. I've given you a faith. Don't worry. I have given you this grace, peace, intimacy with Jesus, divine power, God-touching phenomenon in your life. I've given it to you. But now you got to add stuff. You got to add. You got to add goodness. Push the button, please. You got to add goodness. And you got to have knowledge or intimacy and increased intimacy. You got to have self-control and you got to have perseverance and you got to have godliness and you got to have brotherly kindness and you got to have love. And I'm not sure what your picture looks like. But I do know the pieces that make it up. I'm not sure what your picture looks like, but I know the pieces that are going to make it up. And the pieces that are going to make it up are faith. The pieces that are going to make it up are perseverance. In order to see the picture that God has for you, you got to put together the pieces of the puzzle that God has for you. I'm not sure your picture, but God says to live life, you got to have the pieces that enable you to live life. Starts with faith. It makes sense to me that in order to have the pieces that God has for us, He wants us to put together the pieces that He's put in our lives and our faith so that we can see the picture that God has for our family. And isn't that amazing that the family can put together the pieces together? That's awesome. Lord, forgive me for not helping Cheryl with that earlier. And I'm not sure your pictures, but I do know the pieces. Don't worry, Bren, you'll get to help put it together. You're part of the picture. And God says, I have this for you, and I have a picture for you, and I want you to put the picture together, and I'm going to contain these things. It's going to contain faith. You're going to start with His faith, and you're going to start with His goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And you're going to add to your faith, to this old pot of your faith, and you're going to begin to live. And just so you know, those verbs are all that attached to that is add and keep adding and add and keep adding. Why? Just let me close with this. 4, verse 8 says this, because if you possess, over the next 7 weeks, I'm going to answer the question, what is goodness and how do I add it to my life? We're going to unpack that for the next 7 weeks. What is goodness? I just read the list today because if you would all either be gone or fall asleep, I don't know if I preached all the way through all that stuff. And I want us to add goodness, and we got to know what goodness is and how do I add that, God? How do I add it? We're going to answer those questions for each one of those things over the weeks to come. Because why? Because if you possess these qualities, those 8, starting with faith, in increasing measure, there it is, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your intimacy of our Lord Jesus Christ in your relationship with God. Wow. They'll keep you from being unproductive, put it back to verse 8, please, and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ or that intimate relationship with Him that it takes to live. Verse 9 says this, but if anyone does not have them, oh, have what? Faith in those other 7. He is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. You know what that tells me? That he's saved, but he's sitting in the dugout. He's not living life. He's looking at pictures of John Deere 50s. I know what it feels like to drive a John Deere 50. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager. I'm going to end right here almost. I'm going to ask you to stand like 3 seconds, 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes. 5 hours. I almost can't. It's like a dog we used to have. Once you give her a bone, or once you give her a toy with a squeaker in it, there was no relenting until the squeaker was out of that toy. She was a squeaker hound. She'd find the squeaker, dig it out of the toy, spit it over there, and then just relax. It could take her a half an hour. It could take her 2.5 hours. She was not relenting until she got the squeaker out of the toy. God said, don't relent. Don't relent until you get it. Because it's available. Be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. That's sweet. We'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. The last verse of today. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? And he's going to say, Ryan, well done. You did it. You lived. You had a faith. And you added to it. Good job, son. Wow. Stand with me today. God, I don't know what all the pictures in this room look like. But I know every picture is living life. And I know that every picture includes these eight elements because you said it. They will include a faith. The whole picture will include a faith. Will include goodness. So that we will live and not be unproductive in our walk with you, God. Woo, that's amazing stuff. God, I love it so much that you have done this in my life and in our lives. I wonder how excited Peter was to write this to the believers. You got it. Hang on. Let the faith grow in you. Watch what God does in your life. God didn't make a mistake when he called you. God, you chose us by your own glory and goodness, by the righteousness from you. You chose, it's your opinion that we all can live. That just blows my mind that God, your opinion is that we all can live. The world will tell us different. God, may that be true in our lives. God, I want to live. Here I am, Lord, with my arms wide open. I want to live, God. I want to live. I don't want to just have a poster of a John Deere 50. I want to drive it, God. I don't want to have just a story of a faith. I want to live it, God. I want to live it. I want to live life. I want you and me to put together my picture. I want you and us to put together the pictures that you have in this room. God, you're an amazing God. And here we are, God, with arms wide open. God, here we are. Hear us today, God. God, here we are. No matter where we're at today, God, you're saying, come along with me. I'll give you a faith that's full of grace. I'll give you a faith that's full of peace. I'll give you a faith that's full of power. I'll give you a faith that's full of intimacy. I'll give you a faith that can touch me. I'll give you the ability to live. Father, thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a great day.